Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
But listen, this is going to be good today. I'm really excited about what God wants to speak to you in this series. We've been in a series called The Father. Somebody say The Father. We're talking about God's heart for us. God's heart for us. And we've been talking about how He's provider, how He's healer. He's the Father. He is the shepherd. He's all these things. And in this installment of The Father today, I want to highlight an attribute of God, or let me say it like this. Maybe less of an attribute of God and more of something that He desires for each one of us. Because we're talking about looking at God's heart for us. Sometimes this is just the desire that He has for us, and now we have to come into alignment to receive this. And what I'm talking about is this: God has a heart for you to live in freedom. Amen? God desires for you to live in freedom. As a matter of fact, the whole story of the Bible is a beautiful story of redemption that all points back to Jesus and His finished work at the cross, which gives us, or where we find, freedom. Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. In other words, the whole reason Christ, one of the main reasons Christ came was to set us free and to not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What I want to talk a little bit about today is the bondages we easily pick up. We hear bondage and we hear freedom and we hear these things and we immediately go to addiction, right? We're immediately like, oh yeah, Pastor, you're talking about drug addiction today. I don't deal with that. No, you may not deal with that, but you deal with the sin that leads to shame. That's not God. What God wants for you. Yeah, you may not deal with a sexual addiction, but you deal with some other sin of greed that you've had in your life. And guess what? That leads to bondage. And listen to me. My heart for this today is that you understand that God wants you free from anything that holds you back of what He is calling you to. If there's shame that's holding you back, He wants you free from it. If there's condemnation that's holding you back, He wants you free from it. If there's addiction that is holding you back, He wants you free from those things. If there's fears and doubts and unbelief that you have, God wants you free from that. Because Jesus Christ came so that you could have life and life more abundantly, and what He's talking about in that life and life more abundantly is a lifestyle of freedom. Now we hear freedom and we go, oh yeah, freedom. We see that the wild horse, the wild stallion running in the wilderness, free rein, nothing's out there. He's just going free. We're like, that's freedom, America. Woo! That's not the kind of freedom I'm talking about. Freedom is not the absence of boundaries. Perfect freedom has boundaries. Freedom that our flesh wants knows no bounds. Your flesh wants no boundaries. Your flesh man wants to do whatever it wants to do, whenever it wants to do it. Anybody ever been cut off in traffic and you wish you could just give that person a piece of their mind? No? You have your mind? Anybody? I'm glad we have three honest people in this church today. Three people said, yep, that's me, Pastor. Thank you for your honesty. You know, I appreciate transparency. I've been there. I'm like, you almost killed my family. I'm about to give you a piece of my mind, okay? My dad used to say it was the, when somebody did that, it was, well, we won't go there. We'll see, the mic cut out on me for a second. It's like, yeah, you don't need to go there. Okay, we'll save that for another time, okay? Anybody ever been done wrong before and your first initial thought, that's why the Bible says be angry and sin not to. Because it realizes when you get angry, you're going to want to sin and do things that you shouldn't do. Be angry and sin not, is what the scripture says. There is a greater freedom, though, that God has for us, but it has boundaries. And for years, we've had two different sides where we have people that are calling, saying, I'm free, so that means I can do whatever I want. I'm free in Jesus. Grace covers everything. I can do whatever I want. Then why get saved? Oh, so you could just get out of hell free? Go back and read the Bible. Because we're called to make disciples of all nations. Jesus changed situations whenever he walked into rooms. Okay? Stay with me. So, the freedom that God has for us... Oh, this is where I was going. We have people saying, I can do whatever I want. But then we have legalism freedom, where it's like, you can't do anything. Oh, but you're free in Jesus. Jesus set you free. But don't you dare watch a TV or you're sinning. Women, don't put on jewelry or you're sinning. Don't put on makeup or you're sinning. We have two sides of the track. And I'm going to use my favorite word. God's a God of balance. And he creates perfectly, and he shows us his word. I'll show you in just a second. But he desires freedom, but freedom is not the absence of boundaries. So Christ was sent through the Father as the Redeemer and freedom bearer for all mankind so that we can live free from the curse of sin and the curse of death. But not only that, freedom from shame, condemnation, fear, addiction, and all these other things. Now, if you look over in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 36, you'll find a very familiar passage of scripture that many in the church, we love to yell because when we're talking about freedom, and we yell it out of context. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, hey, you'll be free indeed. Hey. And we shout and hoop and holler. Like, did you read the context of that? Yes. Listen, that is the truth. If you've been set free by the Son, then you'll be free indeed. But there's context to it. Jesus is speaking here to Jews. And you'll find this in verse 31, John 8, 31. We're going to read 31 through 43, okay? I'm going to get your Bible reading in today. If you didn't plan it in your Bible app, now you got it. Here it is. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And we're starting off to a good start here. And you shall know the truth, which is the word, by the way, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? And Jesus answers them and says this, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin or of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son, now we get to the scripture, we all scream and shout and hoop and holler. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Okay. Let's keep going. Verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with who? My father. And you do what you have seen with your father. Verse 39. They answered him and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. In other words, no. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. If you go back to the top of the text, it says, if you know the truth will set you free. Right? So he's basically telling people, no, you're still in bondage. And then it keeps on to say, Abraham, verse 31, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. What is Jesus? Jesus is the word made flesh. What is Jesus? He's the visible image, according to Colossians, of an invisible God. So really what Jesus is stating here is you don't understand my speech because you don't really have an understanding of who your father is. You don't know who your father actually is. And Jesus leans to these Jews. Ben, he leans to these Jews. Damon, he leans into these Jews and goes, listen, if you read on in the text, He said, you don't know who your father is because your father is the father of all lies. Your father is the devil. Jesus sets him straight. He really hits him right. He's right there. So the whole thing that Jesus is saying here is this. Without an understanding of the truth, which is your father, without an understanding of the Father God, you will not know freedom. It is imperative, in order to know freedom, you have to know who your Father is. There is no spiritual freedom without understanding who your Father is. Amen? Now, freedom comes from knowing and receiving the Word. You cannot know your Father unless you know and believe His Word. A proper, listen, you may write this down, a proper understanding of the Word of God is fundamental to knowing who your Father is and to discovering a life of freedom. A proper understanding of the Word of God is fundamental to knowing who your Father is and discovering a life of freedom. If you want to find freedom, you've got to find the Father and know what He thinks about you. And this is why this whole series that we've been teaching is so imperative for your Christian walk, I believe, that you will not find freedom in these areas unless you know who God is. Amen? Amen. In verse 31, it says, if you abide in my word, and you are my, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the reason Jesus is saying this is because he realized that they are misunderstanding who their father actually is. He's trying to illuminate this. But then Jesus says in John 8:34, most surely I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. I want to break down a few texts, a few verses in this chapter, and then I want to jump into the rest of this word. But 8:34, he says, most surely I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Jesus is illustrating that sin binds and enslaves a person. Just as a slave is under the control of a master, so too are you if you commit sin and begin to live under its dominion. Sin will lead to bondage every time. I'm going to say it again, and I know some people, you're going to really, I want you to hear me. This is a struggle to preach, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. This is a struggle message to preach because nobody likes to hear, hey, if you're sinning, you're going to live in bondage. Nobody's jumping up and down right now, but do you want the truth and to live in freedom, or do you want to live in sin and live in bondage the rest of your days? I set before you life and death. Choose life. And the truth is life, and the truth is freedom, but the truth is sometimes difficult. And so I want you to hear with the ears of the Spirit this morning and just ask God as we're speaking, what are the things in my life that may be sinful behavior that I need to get rid of so I stop living in shame, so I stop living in condemnation, so I stop living in fear, so I stop living in addiction, so I can put those things to death fully. I don't think there's anybody in this room that just wants to live in shame the rest of their life. Nobody's itching to live in shame. Right? However, many of us, we find ourselves committing the same sin, which creates the bondage of shame. Jesus contrasts the condition of a slave with that of a son. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever, is what Jesus says. In ancient households, slaves had no permanent place or inheritance in the household. They could be bought or sold at any moment's notice. However, a son has a permanent place in the family with rights and privileges that come from being a member of the household. You see that, we're going to talk about this in a couple weeks, with the story of the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son, he believes that if he just gets his inheritance and goes and does whatever he wants to it, living in freedom with no boundaries. That's what that is, friends. If I just get what is due to me, I can go live in the freedom however I want to. Where does he find himself? He finds himself with the pigs. Had he been willing to live in the boundaries of freedom, guess what? He would have had provision that whole time. And guess what? At the end of it all, guess what he would have gotten at the end? He still would have gotten his inheritance. But he needed to live in the boundaries. Now, there's balance, obviously, and we'll talk about it in the weeks to come, and probably at the end of this message, I'll allude back to this in just a little bit. But however, he didn't have to go waste everything and go through that whole experience and waste away his inheritance. Guess what? He still wasted away his inheritance. That's one thing we forget to talk about whenever we talk about this story, is that he still wasted away the inheritance. Now, however, did the father throw a party whenever he came back? Yes. And do I believe that God can restore? Yes. But it doesn't change the fact that he went and wasted away things that would have been better provided for him if he would have stuck it out through obedience and the freedom that is found in the family. Okay? There's a better way. So then Jesus says in 8:36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. This statement is pivotal. Jesus is proclaiming that he, the Son of God, has the power and authority to liberate us from all the bondage of sin. Listen to me, true freedom, according to Jesus, is not found in earthly liberties alone, but in being set free from the power of guilt and eternal consequence of sin through our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at something real quickly. I want to look at creation. I got a lot of Bible today, and now the rest of it, you can turn there if you want to. You don't have to, because I'm going to be just noting a couple scriptures throughout this. But if you look back in creation, God creates perfection, right? In Genesis, would we all agree in this church that in Genesis, whenever the story of creation, he's creating perfection? That's why whenever he creates man, a man's alone, he looks at man and goes, nope, that's not right. Something's out of place. It's not good that man be alone. This is the perfect will. This is the right way. And he creates a helper. So God creates a perfect place in Genesis. So Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 and 30, you can find the account that I'm talking about. It says that God created created man in his own image, and basically goes on, I'm going to paraphrase it for you just for a moment so you don't have to turn there. Basically just says, I'm giving you freedom over everything. Everything is free to eat. You can go and do as you please. You can multiply the earth. You can, in covenant, you can go and multiply the earth. There's freedom. So there is a, understand what I'm about to say? And I'm looking for kids. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's an intimate freedom with boundaries. Okay? There's an intimacy freedom that God is saying here. He's saying with boundaries. So he's saying these two can go and multiply, be fruitful and multiply, have babies. And so, and then there's also then, he says, to fill the earth and subdue it, to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So he's giving them dominion and saying, hey, this is all for you. You can go and use it and eat of it and do these things. And you have authority over everything that creeps on the earth. Okay. And then in Genesis chapter 2, he says this, Genesis 2, 15 and 17, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend to it and keep it. And the Lord, which is interesting there just in itself, where he says you get to tend to it and keep it, because guess what? That means that even in freedom, there was still work that he had to do. God blessed the work of Adam's hand. So he already is setting up freedom in a way that is somewhat contrary to some way that we think about freedom, where it's like, oh, freedom is like God just going to do everything for me. Like, Jesus, take the wheel. No, like, you're going to have to put your hands on the wheel and do some things, okay? You're going to put your hand to work, and freedom comes. So he says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what's it say? You shall not eat. That sounds like a boundary. That, Pastor, that sounds like legalism. No, that's just a boundary that God gave. And said, that one, don't eat that. Don't touch it. Don't even think about it. And what's interesting is the breaking of that boundary, and I didn't put that on top of the first service. It says that whenever God created man and woman in the garden, they were naked and felt no shame. When did shame enter the world? When the boundary that God placed was broken, shame entered the world. It wasn't until that. This further goes to show forth the evidence and the truth of the Word of God that says when we sin, shame has the door open in our life, and we have to make choices to decide whether I'm going to repent and turn from my sin and not feel ashamed of what I've done, but I am going to feel a holy remorse, a conviction, and I'm going to repent and change, or we go, yeah, I sinned. And then the next time, yeah, I sinned. And then the next time, yeah, yep, I'm sinning. Yep, I'm a sinner. And that literally becomes our identity to the point where we become so callous that we just are okay with now living in our shame because sin becomes comfortable for us. But let me just tell you something. Sin will always have its day of consequence. It says, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Sin will always have consequences. Every action we do has consequences. That's just the law of physics, right? Every action that we do has some sort of opposite reaction. There is a consequence to that action. And so we see here that whenever Adam and Eve sin here by partaking of the fruit, we see what happens next is that shame enters the world. And now we are free through Jesus. If it is Christ has set us free, through Jesus, we find freedom from the sin that Adam released into the world. Amen. Okay? Yeah. Let's keep going, because I want to show you what I mean even more about freedom is not the absence of boundaries. Freedom has been thought in our culture to be do what you want. Do whatever you please. Whenever you want. However you want. And some of y'all looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Some of y'all looking at me like, what are you talking about, Pastor? If I did whatever I wanted to whenever I wanted to, I'd be doing some really bad things. Lord, convict their hearts. This is church. Some of us in this room, we hear this and we go, well, yeah, we can do pretty much whatever we want. As long as it doesn't break the law of America, we're fine. Since when did we become okay as Christians setting the law of America above the law of our God? That's the Holy Ghost right there for you. Since when do we go, oh, yeah, because there's a law, I won't murder. But I sure will hate people. Oh, glory. When you do that, I'm going to let you know something. You put the law of the land above the law of the kingdom. The law of the kingdom, Jesus said it this way. When he shows up on the scene, he takes the commandments to another level. We think that Jesus lowers the bar. No, Jesus is like singular, raising the bar. Anybody remember singular back in the day? Raising the, anyways. So he raised the bar and he says, now if you look at somebody with hatred in your heart, if you hate your brother, you already done killed him. You already committed the sin. If you look at a woman and think, or a man, for you ladies, listen, men aren't the only one that are that do this. We like to harp on the men. Ladies, I know some of y'all not anybody in this church, God willing. But if you looked on a person with lust in your heart, you already done did it. You already committed adultery. You already broke the law. You already broke the commandments. Huh? I know I'm stepping on your toes a little bit this morning. This is good preaching. This is good preaching. Freedom's been thought, do whatever I want and don't ever tell me I'm wrong. That is not freedom. That is the desire of lawless behavior. That is the desire of people who want no law. And we as Christians ought to understand and respect the Word of God as a law for us to live by. Now, I'm going to balance this in just a minute because y'all hear the law and y'all start going to Leviticus. Okay? Jesus came to fulfill the law. I believe that, okay? But I also have to read Jesus' words and see what he reiterated as law for us to live by. And that's why you got to know the Father. You got to know these things. Jesus didn't come and destroy the Ten Commandments and go, this is nothing that we should live by any longer. That would not make sense for Jesus to come and destroy those things that God penned with his very finger. I only do what my Father has shown me and told me to do. And now my father is schizophrenic and he told me to destroy the Ten Commandments. No! No! I think the greater thing was he said, apparently these people didn't get the hint when God wrote it the first time, my father wrote it the first time. So let me reiterate these things for you that we're called to live by and take them to a little bit another level so you can understand a little better. That's just, there's a great book on that. If you've never heard the teaching of how Jesus took the Ten Commandments to another level, Apostle Robert wrote a book called Next Level, Raising the Standard of Grace. A phenomenal read about how Jesus comes and reiterates the Ten Commandments in a different way. Each single one, he goes through every single one of them. Powerful, powerful book. I encourage you, if you've never read it and you like to read, go do yourself a favor and read that book and get on Amazon. We might have a few copies back there as well. But in a culture, we have replaced lawlessness with freedom and called it the same thing. Oh yeah, I'm free to do whatever I want. No, you're lawless. You have no moral or righteous standards of living. Freedom in Christ has boundaries. And I'm going to show you through some text real quickly. But listen, the spirit of lawlessness has come in with a look of freedom to try to excuse and encourage sinful behavior in the guise of freedom. We have to call sin, sin. The church, people of God have to, with love and grace and compassion and mercy, have to call sin, sin. Not you are going to hell for all eternity because you sinned. God hates you because you're a sinner. Not that kind. That's not what I'm talking about. That is not going to help. That is not going to bring freedom. That's going to bring another level of shame and condemnation. And then an offense against the church and the people of God. Sin has to be called out through love, grace, mercy, and compassion and from that area. Amen? I'm going to say it like this. My dad, growing up, has always said this. Error always lives right next door to truth. In other words, the thing that you think is right normally is not the thing that's 100 miles away on the interstate. It's just right next door to the truth. And we have to be, this is where we need spiritual discernment. And guess where you find spiritual discernment? The Word of God. You have to know the Bible to know what is truth and what is error. What is righteous and what is not righteous. What is correct and holy and acceptable before the Lord and what is not. And this is some people, I'm going to say this real quickly. Some people take this response, this idea and this thought process of, well, God is just a loving God and, you know, his grace covers the multitudes of sins. And so why don't I just live the way I want to and everything will be fine? If you really love God, let me ask you like this. How many of you married in this room? Anybody married in this room? Okay. Yep. Bless God. I love my wife. I love her. We entered into a covenant together. Okay. The covenant is represented in the ring that I wear. Now, stay with me for a second because I'm going somewhere with this. I don't go, you know what? I can just go do whatever I want with whoever I want because I have freedom to do that because she loves me. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Okay? Like, listen, I say that in jest and in light. For you to grab hold of a spiritual truth here, though. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, in other words, you'll obey the word of God. You'll realize that there is boundaries in the covenant that we have together. And that you can't just be going doing whatever you want. If it's not something, Jesus says, I only do what the Father's told me to do. What are you called to be as a Christian? Like Christ. So what should you be doing? Only what your Father told you can do. You should only be doing what your Father told you can do. And if your Father said, hey, don't hate people, guess what you shouldn't be doing? Hate people. If your father says, hey, don't commit adultery, guess what you shouldn't do? Commit adultery. If your father says, hey, love the unlovable, guess what you need to be doing? Loving the unlovable. If the father says, don't show any partiality to anybody, then guess what you shouldn't be doing? Showing partiality. We must do only what the father says is well for us to do. And this, living in that way, will bring freedom into our lives. Living contrary to that will always open the door for shame and condemnation to enter in. Yeah. Amen? Amen? This is a good word. Amen. I'm gonna preach myself happy. Y'all got the better message. I'm just letting y'all know. 11 a.m., this is good today. This is good. Y'all getting things I didn't say in the first service, okay? I was still waking up or something. I don't know. Now, there's a very familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus is speaking and he says, there'll be a day where the Father will look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Now, there are some, we're not going to get deep into the fullness of what that means, the depart from me, I never knew you, because there are a bunch of, there are quite a few different beliefs that are had of what Jesus is actually trying to articulate here. But let me just say this. Whether it is hell, whether it is separation, whatever it is, I don't want that. You can split hairs over exactly what that means, but I don't want to hear from the God who loves me and the God I've been serving, depart from me, I never knew you. Like, no one wants to hear that. But the Greek word here used for lawlessness, where it says you who practice lawlessness, it literally means illegality, a violation of the law, or it means breaker of the laws. What's interesting here is Jesus came to fulfill the law, right? So why would Jesus say, depart from me, I never knew you, those who practice lawlessness or break the laws? If Jesus came and fulfilled the law, would that, and that's where we get some things mixed up and messed up. Is we think the fulfilling of the law was the getting rid of every part of the law, and it's just grace, grace, grace now. Now, I do believe in the grace of God. I do believe in the mercy of our Father. I'm thankful that we serve a merciful Father, because Lord knows I have messed up, fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible talks about it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. However, at the same time, I also realize that I'm called to live according to the law of the Word of God. You can't, you've got to live in accordance to the code of righteousness that God is, that you find in his word. And but you find in Matthew 27, as you go down a little bit further after Jesus says that, he says this, therefore, this is verses 24 through 27. You can pull it up later. It's chapter 27 of Matthew, 24 and 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built the house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, those who don't fulfill the law, those who are not living according to the word of God, everyone who does those things is like a foolish man and who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and the beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. You want to fall with a great crash, don't live according to the word. If you want your house to stand the test of time, you want your life to really stand out and be a beacon and a light of Jesus to people, then you need to build on the Father. You need to build on the rock. Amen. Our salvation. The ones who are lawless are those that don't live by his words, and freedom is found only in Christ. Listen, you may want to write this down. This is kind of funny, but it's also true. Jesus did not come for you to be free to be dumb. He came to give you freedom. He did not come so that you could let your intrusive thoughts win, okay? He came to give you freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from shame, freedom from condemnation. Yes, freedom from addiction as well. But Jesus really is focusing on your soul, spirit, body. He wants you to live in the total freedom that he can alone give you. Lawlessness will always bring bondage. In the natural world, what happens if you break a law? You get arrested or you get a ticket, whatever. It brings some sort of bondage. There's a consequence. If tomorrow you go out and you go and rob a bank, don't anybody do this, okay? You go out and you rob a bank tomorrow, guess what? You are going to be wanted if not arrested. And then once you are found, if you are wanted, you're going to be arrested. Why? Because there was a law that you broke. Now you are free to work and make money and to make a living. What you are not free to do is go rob a bank. Spouses, you are free to be intimate with your spouse. You are not free to go be intimate with someone else's spouse. Okay? There is a certain code of conduct in the Word of God that we are called to live by that will bring a greater freedom in our life. Amen? Amen. Now, the bondage, I'll wait. I'll get into that. I probably won't get into that too much today. We gotta move forward. Lawlessness will always bring bondage. James chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. You can turn there if you want to. James is writing here and he says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, James says this, you commit sin. Point blank. James says, if you're going to show partiality to somebody, you're committing sin. You got to love the unlovable. You got to love the person that walks into church that don't look like you, don't act like you, don't smell like you, don't talk like you. You got to love that person just like the person who's in leadership at the church. That's what James is writing. He's writing to the church here. And James is saying this, saying you got to show that same kind of love. And if you don't, you sin. This is the Word of God, friend. I'm going to say it like I said last week. You can argue with the Word, but you're wrong. You commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. There's that word law again, which is interesting because this is New Testament. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, don't murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. What's interesting is James using this word, law of liberty, which is a very interesting two words to use together because they seem contrary, but they're actually perfect together. He's speaking to Jews here, James is, and when James is writing this, he's speaking to Jews and he's saying, like, listen, there is a different law than what you've even heard, and it's the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God, is actually what he's talking about. And so James is speaking here after Jesus has broken the curse, fulfilled the law, and he's still using that same lingo of laws. It's interesting that he says this and he uses that term law of liberty because, once again, sometimes we like to just throw out that there's any kind of laws for us to live by in the church or in Christianity, but he literally says, so speak and so do. In other words, it's a callback. Anybody ever been in a comedy show or anything like that where there's a callback, or maybe you've watched a movie and they call it a callback in the movie where it's like something that happens really early in the movie and you get to the end of the movie and you're like, oh, when that happened, that's called a callback. James is doing a callback here. Because in James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, he says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25, here's his callback. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, the words of Jesus, and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. The person that obeys the word of God will be blessed, will find freedom in what he does. James refers to those who look in the law and liberty and continue in it to those who hear and obey his word. He compares those two because they're the same. Jesus spoke of those people whenever he's talking about building your house on the rock, and he calls those the wise people, the people that build with the word of God and live according to the word of God. He considers those people wise. It's important that we obey his word, and obeying his word will prevent you from entering back into the bondage of sin, because lawlessness will always lead to bondage. I'm going to end with this thought. All freedom, mental, financial, and physical, is linked to your spiritual freedom and your spiritual well-being. I'll show you real quickly what I mean. The spiritual principle of tithing, okay? The spiritual principle of tithing brings a natural change to how I manage my finances, which in turn brings forth the promise of God and financial freedom in my life. Where did it start at? It started in tithing, which made me a better steward of what God placed into my hands. And the Bible talks about those. They're good stewards. He will reward. And now from that, I can live in a spiritual freedom. Freedom has boundaries. I do not have an endless checkbook that I can just write $1 million check right now. I can't write $100,000 check right now, okay? Like, I can't write an $80,000 check right now, okay? So it's not an endless, and less than that, by the way. I'm not just stopping there, because some people are like, oh, so he's got this much. No, I could keep going, okay? I'll go down with you, all right? $75, $76, $76, $74 My point is, there is a spiritual principle that I enact though that brings a freedom in my life, which really comes back to managing what God has placed within my hands well. The spiritual principle of understanding God as my protector brings freedom from fear and anxiety, because I realize that no matter what. And it also make me understand that, yes, he protects me, but he also doesn't want me to go be and put myself in stupid situations that are going to put me in harm's way. Okay? The spiritual principle of understanding the sanctity of covenant in a marriage. I want to say this before I say the next part. There is no condemnation or shame for anyone who's ever went through a divorce. I want you to hear me. I'm going to make that very clear. There is no shame and no condemnation in that. What I am saying is this. Whenever I enact in the understanding what actual covenant is, I am not going to get a divorce because we view things differently. The only time that there would even be divorce talked about is if there is the biblical grounds of divorce, which there are biblical grounds of divorce. Hear that today, okay? And there's no shame or condemnation for anybody who has went through this. But what I am saying for you today is to understand covenant. And whenever you understand covenant, it will free you from divorce unless, once again, I'm going to balance it with, unless there are things that are meriting a biblical grounds for divorce. Amen? Understand what I'm saying? So enacting spiritual understanding, the word of God, understanding that God does not want you to live in an addictive behavior. And let me just go and say this real quickly. I think many of us in this room probably know whether we have addictive tendencies or not. And let me encourage you with two things. I want to encourage everyone in this room with two things. One is this. If you have addictive tendencies, don't put yourself in a place or don't begin to do things that could be easily addictive. Okay? And I know that's a lot easier said than done, but I'm just admonishing you and encouraging you to distance yourself from those things. Now I want to admonish people that may not have that addictive personality or behavior, that if you know of people in your life that do struggle with addiction and addictive tendencies, you should not be a stumbling block for them and do things that, am I preaching it? You understand what I'm saying? Not do things that would possibly cause your brother to stumble. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about that and how it is wrong. And we as Christians should not be doing this, okay? But the bottom line is God wants you to live in freedom from any addiction, shame, guilt, all these different things. I'm going to really end with this thought. Final close. I mentioned the story of the prodigal son. This is the heart of the Father, that even if you do and you have went and spent everything you have in your own freedoms, and you've went to the world and you've looked to all these things and you've ran and chased after all those things and you found yourself in that shame, fear, and condemnation, you find yourself really struggling with sin and the shame that ensnares us, I want this good news to ring forth to you today. that you don't have to live a slave to that. Where was the father in that story that Jesus gives? He's standing at the end of the road, already made a celebration for your triumphant return, for your glorious return. And that's where God's standing today. If you've been living a life of you want to do whatever you want, I don't have to listen to the word. God's just going to cover everything, so on and so forth. I want this word to be a word of challenging and encouragement to you that says, hey, I need to look again at the Bible and see how God wants me to live. I'm only going to live according to the way that Jesus has called me and told me to live. And I want you to go back to the Father and begin to live inside of his boundaries. And I'm telling you, you will never find freedom or peace or joy like what you find in that. Serving your Savior, living for Jesus, you'll never find that kind of joy in anything else that you ever experience. The ways of this world, listen, they'll bring temporary pleasures, but in his presence, there's pleasures forevermore, is what the scripture says. So let me encourage you today. God is waiting for you to give you freedom, to give you joy, and to bring your peace back. Will you stand up to your feet today? Will you lift your hands to the Lord? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it is yes and amen. Thank you for this message. Thank you, Lord, that for your freedom, that you've come to set us free from sin, from shame, from death. I thank you, God, right now, that you've challenged us today by your word. You've challenged us and you've encouraged us to live in your perfect freedom. So right now, we come against any shame, fear, and condemnation cycles that may be enacted in anyone's life in this room, or sin cycles, and we break its power now. We thank you, Lord, that even as you created in the beginning of time, in Genesis, you created man in the garden and gave him dominion over everything. So, Lord, we thank you for a fresh understanding of the dominion that your people have over sin, that your people have over shame, that they don't have to live in that any longer, but they can live in the perfect freedom of God, that we can live in accordance to your word, and we can live in the love and the peace of God. So God, we give you all glory, honor, praise for everything you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Will you one more time give God a hand clap of praise? Amen.